our good friend, Mr. Jack McCaffrey. What's going on, Jack?
Hi, Mark.
How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, thanks. Bob, Trey.
All right.
How are you, Jack?
Jack, you're looking at this story now. Mike Rowe was already in some hot water with everybody here in Philadelphia. But then you're looking at the idea of the possibility of John DeFilippo coming back. What do you draw from this this story?
That was an interesting press conference yesterday. And the fact that he was directly asked about his job security, well, he handled it a lot better than I would have handled it, I'll tell you that. But what do I make of it? I make of it pretty basic. They are going to do what's best for Carson Wentz. That's what they're going. That's what they've done. They're into this guy for two first-round picks, a second, a third, and a fourth. And everything they've done is to benefit him, whether that is go out and rent Golden Tate for a third-round pick, whether that's to bench the Super Bowl MVP to give him his job back, whether that's to play him earlier than you might have after his injury. This franchise is married to Carson Wentz and what's best for him. If they believe that bringing John DeFilippo back is best for Carson Wentz, that's what they're going to do. And whether that means Mike Groh's in trouble or they bring him back as a consultant or whatever it is, that's what's going to do. Now, if Carson Wentz tells them, no, that's not necessary, don't do that, then they won't. But if Carson Wentz gives them the wink-wink that this is the guy I want, that's where they're going to go.
What do you make of Carson Wentz's struggles this year? Do you attribute to the injury mentally or physically in any capacity?
Yeah, you have to. It's the only way you can go. Because if you saw him play last year, of course you did, he was spectacular. A talented, the best Eagles quarterback I've seen in years, maybe in my entire life. I don't remember seeing anybody play the quarterback position like that. He is a splendid, spectacular, cut above, star potential player, and he wasn't that this year. The only way you can judge that is to say, okay, he needed the year. You've seen that in sports for years and years and years. A guy coming off an injury sometimes needs a year. If he comes back next year and plays subpar again, then let's revisit this. But I'm willing to give him a mulligan.
So you think that they would go and ask Carson if bringing back DeFilippo would help him? And then also, do you think that Carson has the mindset where he would say, you know what, Press Taylor isn't working for me?
That's a great question, Trey. You would probably know better. You obviously would know better than me, having been in those situations, obviously. But from afar, everything they've done is, at least offensively, is based upon what they can do to benefit Carson Wentz. And you understand that. Again, two first, a second, a third, and a fourth. They're into this guy for 10 years. It better work for them. If that doesn't work for them, well, it's obviously worked, but they got a Super Bowl out of it. But if it doesn't work for them for 10 years, they're in real trouble. So they pretty much have to, with something as minor as this, an assistant coach, if Carson Wentz thinks an assistant coach will help him, they'll do that in a minute.
So my question,
does Carson Wentz have the authority over the head coach, over the GM? No. Assistant coach? I would think he does. He should.
Yeah. So do you think he would say, all right, you know what, Press just isn't working for me?
He probably would do it in less words in a less subtle way than that. Yeah. More of a wink, wink. I think he's too class of an act to just have somebody lose his job. But there's ways to communicate. There's ways to let it be known that, you know who's really good was John DeFilippo. Just throw it out there like that. Let them make the decision. They'll be able to read the tea leaves.
Jack, do you get the feeling, you know, when we look at it from afar and we're trying to figure out what's wrong with this Eagles offense, what's so different than last year? The personnel is basically the same. So we're kind of baffled as to why it isn't working. Do the players know why? Do you think, is there some underlying reason that it's not working and the players know?
My guess, Bob, as you know, if they knew, they would correct it. It's not quite the same. The running backs are gone. They missed Ajayi. They're a little older. They're a little missed LeGarrette Blount. They're a little older. And again, Wentz is banged up, relatively speaking, to where he was last year. It had a couple bad breaks. All of the above accumulate. The defense is not the same. So therefore, there's more pressure on the offense. It's all accumulation of things. Okay. I think my guess is that if they knew what was wrong, they would correct it. And I do think that it's not quite the same offense as it was last year.
Jack, I want to move on with you as we speak with Jack McCaffrey of the Delco Times. When you look at the Sixers situation right now, Jimmy Butler, groin injury, not expected to play tonight with the Nets, or against the Nets, rather. The talk of adding another piece has been going around now, really, ever since Jimmy Butler was acquired. Elton Brand came out afterwards and basically said, we're not done. What is that next piece, you think? What do you think they're going to add?
They need one more scorer or one more guy that can spread the floor. You'll see what they'll have difficulty tonight against the Nets. They generally do against teams that spread the floor like that. So maybe one more scorer from distance or something like that. But yeah, that's exactly what Elton Brand said. And I don't have that in the back of my mind too. But he said, we're not done yet. So we're going to keep an eye on what they're doing. Obviously, last year at the trade deadline, they wound up with Bellinelli and Ilyasova. There'll be veterans available like that soon enough. Yeah, and this is not the team that they're going to be taking into the playoffs.
Jack, what did you take of Joel Embiid saying what he said about how he's not comfortable pretty much since they got Jimmy Butler? We've been around him enough through the years to know that sometimes he says things and just for the sake of saying them. But do you think there was really something behind it?
Bingo. That's exactly what it is, Bob. We have been around for a minute, and I find him refreshing.
Yeah.
He says what he thought. I'm sure that athletes think that kind of thing all the time. He just doesn't have a filter, and he comes out with it. And it wasn't damaging to any extent. It's just, listen, my role's changed a little bit. I'm not playing well. This is why I think I'm not playing as well as I should play. I've been around a long time. I remember when athletes were more inclined to say things like that. It's only in the modern times where the minute you mutter anything, it becomes an absolute crisis where all of a sudden Brett Brown needs a 4-hour sit down with the guy. The guy's complaining about he didn't get the ball enough or whatever. So what? Go through your, and 2 days later, everybody was over it and it was blown over. But I think exactly like you said, Bob, he's just a guy that he says what's on his mind, and in our business, good for him.
Yes, exactly.
Jack, I know what a big boxing fan you are. Did you get a chance to see the Buster Douglas special last night on ESPN 30 for 30?
I did not. It's funny because I did watch the
Bobby Knight.
Bobby Knight story.
So
I watched that. And then something came out. I wasn't able to watch them. I would have liked to see it. Of course, I remember when Buster Douglas was in town. Mark, you remember? He was doing celebrity boxing with Damon.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
I was in the ring. I was in the ring.
Yes,
with Buster Douglas.
Jack, you are everywhere.
You and I, Mark, if you're only doing this show, you can say we were in the ring with Buster Douglas. I wasn't fighting. You were the ring announcer, and I think I was the referee.
Yes, that's right. Oh, my goodness, yes.
Who was he fighting?
I don't remember.
Nobody important. Lohan's father.
I
think it was Lindsay Lohan's father.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Oh, my God. Jack, when that fight happened, the Tyson-Buster Douglas fight in Japan, do you remember, like, your reaction? Is it the biggest upset you've ever seen?
In that sport, sure, because at that time, Tyson seemed unbeatable. And we had seen Buster Douglas, and he was nothing special. So, yeah, it was just tremendous, huge upset, which is why you watch sports. You just never know. And I watched that entire fight when it happened. It was at least 20 years ago, right?
Yeah, almost 30.
Yeah.
I watched it, and it was you're watching it with your jaw on the ground saying, I can't believe what I'm seeing here.
Yeah.
And it was it was tremendous. I couldn't see it last night. I did watch the Bobby Knight. I wanted to see that, and I'm going to try to hope it comes on demand.
I'll have to catch the Bobby Knight one then, because the one with Tyson and Douglas last night was incredible. Highly recommended, per usual, 30 for 30. 42-1,
yeah.
The odds Buster Douglas had to win that fight, and just an incredible upset. I remember my grandfather, I was in 1990, I was 8 years old. I remember staying up with my grandfather, and then after Buster Douglas won, I remember my grandfather saying, well, that's why they fight him. Like that's why they play
that's
him.
That's why they play him.
Like, that's the simplest way to put
it.
Exactly.
That's why they play him.
So, Jack, real quick, last one for you. Phillies winter meetings going on right now. They add Andrew McCutchen. How would you describe your feeling? How would you describe the Phillies offseason to this point? Have you been underwhelmed? Have you been impressed? Are you waiting for more? How would you describe it?
Waiting for more. All of a sudden, a nice start. But you can't promise, you can't dangle Bryce Harper and Manny Machado and give the people Andrew McCutchen and Gene Segura. You can't do that. If this off, and I'm not saying this is what's going to happen, but if this offseason winds up with Bryce Harper sitting in Los Angeles, putting on a Dodgers hat next to Magic Johnson, and with Machado in New York signing for $300 million to be basically fill in for D.V. Gregorius, then Philadelphia fans deserve better. They want to be with the A-list. They want T.O. They want Roy Halladay. They want Jimmy Butler. They don't want the second guy. And that's what so far the Phillies have given their fans, the second guy. And that's fine. You need second guys too. But they better finish it off with a bow on top of that package, I'll tell you that.
You're damn right, Jack McCaffrey. They better. We appreciate you coming on, buddy. Always great catching up
with you.
Thanks,
guys.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.